Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo, Jeff Budd.
Hello.
How are you doing, Guapo?
I'm doing all right. How about you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. We are going to be diving into episode 2 of season 4, Darkness and the Monster. Before we get into the main bulk of the episode, we do have to mention that WWE, WCW, pro wrestling, everywhere he worked, legend, Vader passed away this past week. Big loss to the wrestling community. One of my favorites growing up, and one of the best big men, for my money, that I ever saw. And just a terrifically imposing heel, super intimidating. I really just loved watching him and just how athletic he was for a guy his size. Jeff, what did you think of Vader? And just if you can add a comment.
Yeah, as a kid, he was definitely one of those guys that I enjoyed rooting against. He was a great heel in WWE. I enjoyed watching him. Yeah, like you said, very mobile for a guy his size. And then, of course, I appreciated him on a whole other level as far as his recurring character on Boy Meets World.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was so much fun.
He was great on that. I love Feeney getting in the ring and actually intimidating him, you know, and just that was a great moment. I had the pleasure of meeting him when WrestleMania was in the Bay Area a few years ago. Was very nice. Got to talk to him about his career a little bit. It's a shame that he's not in the Hall of Fame. It was rumored that it was going to happen for the last couple of years. I don't know why it hasn't, because he's certainly a Hall of Famer. And he was one of those guys that even as a kid, I would have been, you know, not obviously not rooting for it to happen, but it when Shawn was champion, I would have been okay with them putting the title on Vader, you know, being sort of that big heel instead of like Sid. You know, to have Vader take it off Shawn, because, I mean, Vader was just such a force of nature, I thought. And actually, Baby Huey and I for 107.7 The Bone, friend of the show, Baby Huey, we talked to Jim Ross this week, and Jim was talking about Vader passing away, and the reason why that they didn't put the title on him was by the time he got to the WWF at the time was that he was sort of on the what he called the back nine of his career. So they were trying to use him in the best way that they could, given knowing what he had left in the tank. So it made sense, but man, I still would have bought hard for a Vader title run and being sort of that monster heel that he had been in WCW and everything like that. But rest in peace, Vader. You know, of course, prayers and condolences out to his family and the whole wrestling world that's mourning his loss. Another one, sort of have to almost get used to it as being a fan of wrestling that you're going to lose people too young. But awkward segue from that into the rest of the Lucha Lowdown. I did want to start off not related to Lucha Underground per se, but to Rey Mysterio. A couple things to do with the Lucha Libre legend, Rey Mysterio. I don't know what his involvement in Season 4, if any, is, but you live in San Diego, home of Rey Mysterio. This month, they had 619 Day, Rey Mysterio Day on 619. Did you catch any festivities or anything like that? And just how cool is that San Diego honored Rey as Rey Mysterio Day?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. It's very cool that they did that. You were the first one to tell me about it, but then when I was in the car at one point during the day, it was on the news, and they were talking about how it was Rey Mysterio Jr. Day, and they referenced the 619 thing, and that's why it was June 19th. But other than that, I didn't get to see any coverage or go anywhere. I was at work, so.
That is super cool, though, that they did that. Like, very good on San Diego.
Well, and one of the things that they mentioned in the news story that I heard was just, you know, oh, what a presence he is in the community and, you know, his charity work and all of his professional accomplishments and things like that. I think it is important that, you know, we talk about San Diegans who have kind of made it to that level and everything like that. I mean, you know, there's very few people in our city that we kind of celebrate to that extent. LaDainian Tomlinson, back when he was more closely associated with the city, especially when the Chargers were more closely associated with it, he was also kind of one of those people. But yeah, it's kind of fun that it's Rey Mysterio Jr., someone that I've idolized and been a fan of for years.
Yeah, and you know, with losing the Chargers, and you got to celebrate who you got while you got them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and like I said, just thinking of favorite sons, I mean, like the only other one I can think of is like Tony Gwynn. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, he's passed.
He was the biggest.
Absolutely. I could point out so many great statues and plaques and just all the work that he had done. And yeah, exactly. Also, quick thing, though, about in relationship to Lucha Underground, you know that I grew up in Poway, which is a small city in San Diego. There's a Poway Day parade every year, and there's always like a parade marshal or something like that. I forget if I ever told you this or not. One year, the parade marshal, it just happened to be when there was a show on TV called Renegade that was a very big deal. And so the parade marshal was Lorenzo Lamas, who lived in Poway at the time.
I don't think you have ever told me that.
Yeah, so he was in the car waving at the audience with his wife at the time.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Lorenzo is everywhere.
Good old Lorenzo, dearly departed councilman from Lucha Underground. But the other Rey Mysterio news I wanted to get to was the fact that all signs point to this affecting his Lucha Underground status moving forward, as he's going to be one of the pre-order special characters for WWE 2K19. They had a cool reveal trailer for it yesterday.
That's part of Raw last night.
Yeah, during Raw. And basically, with all these wrestlers pulling off the Rey Mysterio mask and sort of describing him and everything like that. I thought that was pretty cool. What'd you think?
I thought it was cool, but then it started just becoming everybody using their catchphrase to describe him.
Yeah.
Not that he isn't those things. He is phenomenal and all that, but I don't know. I just thought it was sort of weird.
I'll grant you that, but I think it's good for Ray, to be, they've done that with Goldberg in the past and led to a really big return and monster push for him and a cool storyline. So I wonder if, Ray looked great in the Royal Rumble for WWE this past year. So if he wants to go back to WWE, I think that's good for him. And, wish him nothing but the best. And hopefully they use him well this time, Not that they didn't use him well before, but again, to continue to use him well.
Yeah, I would just be kind of curious to see what it is that they'd want to do with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think that he still connects with the fans. Like, again, he was in phenomenal shape. He can still go.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that he doesn't connect with the fans. The guy's a living legend. I'm just thinking who I'd want to, pair him up with or who I'd want to see him face off against. I don't know. I mean, there's a few guys where maybe it would be kind of fun, but I don't know. None of it to me is, that important either. I don't know. I'd rather just see him do more in Lucha Underground, honestly. I prefer his work there just because the stories are more interesting. It's nothing against him. It's more against WWE at this point.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And I think that that's kind of why I say, if that's what he wants to do, though, good for him.
Oh, yeah. All power to him. I mean, he deserves to make a comeback there at some point, I'm sure. One last time before he stops.
Yeah. But I thought there was a couple cool tidbits about Ray. Now let's get into this week's episode, The Darkness and the Monster, episode 2 of Lucha Underground season 4. Overall thoughts on this one, Jeff?
I mean, I thought it was all right. It was nice to see. I like the starting vignette, and I like to see somebody that we already knew was coming in this season, just to actually physically see him in the temple. It made me happy, and I'm excited to see what happens with him in the future. But overall, I mean, I wasn't really feeling too much of this episode. I'm kind of waiting to see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah. No, I hear you on that. I actually really, I think I enjoyed this episode more upon viewing it the second time. I do think it was strongest for its vignettes is what made it stand out. Which let's start right there, which we start off in King Cuerno's trophy room, and Katrina, just again, the inferno of hotness that she is every season. It just seems to only increase. It's ridiculous. Teleporting into King Cuerno's trophy room. And she's looking for the gauntlet, and King Cuerno then, shows up, and he says that even, he knows some trophies are too dangerous to display. And Katrina basically explains why she's looking for it. She wants to be, she wants to be whole again, and actually come back to the world of the living. And King Cuerno doesn't care about that in the slightest and says that he's hidden it, given it to somebody to hide it, and he doesn't know where or when it is. So clearly he's given it to Aerostar, which
I love it.
Is incredible, right? Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, this is something that we had been talking about. We wanted to see Cuerno come back and align himself with those kinds of guys. We want him to be with Aerostar and Phoenix. And depending on whatever happens to Drago, perhaps with Drago as well. But yeah, Aerostar is, for lack of a better term, the Raiden of Lucha Underground's Mortal Kombat. So it's kind of cool to see him aligning himself with key players. And also for Cuerno, who for the most part had been sort of a heel, and then you were the one who was talking about he could be this sort of Boba Fett anti-hero, guy's almost more of a mercenary.
Yeah.
You know, he's somewhat neutral. And then, yeah, as much as Cuerno may be into the thrill of the hunt and then sometimes maybe like money and things like that, he still understands like what the big stakes are. And so it was no problem for him to have to join the good guys to make sure that the gauntlet was taken out of the picture, at least for the time being.
Yeah, I love this vignette.
That's the best storyline going on right now.
Yes, agreed. And I love this vignette. I love that Cuerno's back. It's just been so cool.
It's good to see him, man.
Yeah, it's good to see him doing the temple. He was one of our favorites. So for him to have been gone, he was gone all of last season, correct?
Yeah, which was heartbreaking, especially because he's had some really awesome feuds.
Yes.
As far as just the matches that he's been able to put on with very different performers.
He's also one of the most uniquely built sort of luchador characters, I feel like, in the temple. The whole King Cuerno character being the hunter and them really playing that up with how he comes to the ring and everything like that. He just to me, like, immediately jumped off the screen when I first saw him in season one. I was like, all right. Like, and again, coming into it, I had no idea if this guy was going to be treated as a jobber or, like, sort of what level he was really at the start. But I was like, dude, this – I mean, obviously he had great success to start out with. But in the first moments you see him, you don't really know. But I was like, okay, I like this guy, you know, and all the stuff that he can do in the ring. He's one of their – I feel like their most talented, most consistent, just crisp workers they have in Lucha Underground. So it's awesome to have him back in the temple and doing his thing. So yeah, two episodes in a row now we've gotten King Cuerno. So that's good compared with him being a no-show because of his death match with Mil Muertes, which in the long run, I appreciate the storytelling. I know it was probably more of a scheduling thing. I don't care. It sells the death match and now he's back. So I'm good with that. He's back and he had to change his look up a little bit. So it's still putting over, you know, the pro wrestling aspect of it in this sense. But I thought this was a really, kick-ass vignette. I love the allusion to Aerostar and that we're going to get some flashbacks of him giving the gauntlet and everything like that and what's going on with it. So I can't wait to see where that goes. Like you said, that's probably the best storyline they have going. And
really is the most important one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, depending on what Lucha Underground status is, that's the one that has to sort of close out the deal. You know, like that's the one with the biggest stakes. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. But yeah, very strong vignette to start out this episode. We then get a trios title match, Killshot, the Mac, and Son of Havoc, who are the champions, against what we would think would be Famous B, Tejano, and Dr. Wagner Jr. But Famous B comes out there to set Melissa Santos straight and introduce his new clients, because Dr. Wagner and Tejano are busy making money for him down in Mexico, as he said.
Damn it.
So, I mean, this looks like another casualty of sort of like the long delay and the scheduling conflicts and stuff like that, which is a bummer, especially for Tejano, because he was really, you know, at the end of season three, picking up steam, and it was an interesting storyline and everything, and I wanted to see where they're going with that. So I don't know if he's just not involved in this season at all, but it's not looking like it. What did you think about that just on the face of it?
It was just 2 weeks in a row where key guys that I was looking forward to seeing again are just gone. And it's just so abrupt. And then it just, I guess, further salt on that wound, they're actually going against the team that that had the guy who I first missed with Dante Fox.
Yeah.
So there's three guys in this match that I'm not getting. I'm not getting Dante Fox. I'm not getting Tejano. And I'm not getting a personal favorite, Dr. Wagner Jr.
Dude, your guy, dude. The guy.
My guy who... How many times has he even been at the temple? Like five?
Yeah, not that many.
And like, how many of those matches had Masqueritas and Sangrata in it? And nothing against Little Masquerita. I love him. But I mean, I just feel like Dr. Wagner Jr. was never utilized fully, besides that stomping he did to Son of Havoc.
At this point, I hope we get. I mean, I'm worried about everybody that we haven't seen so far yet. You know, like so.
That's a very good point.
You know, I want to see Masquerita. I want to see all these people because I don't know what it means. So we get Famous B's replacement team.
Kudos to Famous B for getting cheers from the audience, though. He was one of the last of the heels I felt was just getting a heel response, but people love him too much.
That's a great point too, because I thought about you when I first watched it. Was like, oh. He was the true heel, and now they even.
I know I'm a little sad about it, but at the same time I'm happy for him because he has been doing such a phenomenal job. He's very entertaining,
and
he has a great character. And I just remember the jobber that he was in season one.
Yes.
Before his character developed and what he was able to turn it around into, because he's so much better now.
Absolutely. I liked how he went up to that one fan and gave him his card and said, "You look like you could need it." Is great, but yeah, you're right. The crowd finally is not treating him like a heel necessarily. So it's sort of bittersweet in a sense because we had sort of put him on this pedestal for that fact that they continue to treat him as such. But he revealed his new team, Big Bad Steve, whose gimmick is apparently that of a mechanic. So
it's like 1992 WWF.
We are so simpatico because that's exactly where I was like, dude, from like you just look to your left.
The box of gimmicks.
There's Duke the Dumpster Drozzy on the left. There's like the goon on the right, and in the middle there's Big Bad Steve the mechanic.
I loved his feud against the Repo Man.
Yeah, taking all of his cars. Yeah, so Scuba Steve or whatever is he hits the ring. I
would have preferred Scuba Steve.
I haven't seen enough to just I was not on board. I'm not on board yet with this. So and then we get
rightly so
Sammy Guevara, which my first thought about this kid was, is he wearing lipstick? I don't know what to make of him. So I was not the first two. I was like, okay, I'm not wowed. I don't know if they deserve the fame. What were you thinking so far?
I was not pleased. Also, I mean, I'll be honest. As much as I love Famous B, did I think Famous B was going to be able to scrap together a team that would legitimately be able to get the Trios Championships right away? No. I didn't. So this was sort of what I was expecting. Also, if Famous B is going to expand his products, then he's going to start picking up guys like this. They can't all be Tejano level.
That's true. And that's about the skill level of Famous B's recruiting power. However, his third one is a legit A-lister,
mm-hmm.
renamed the Savage Jake Strong, formerly known as Jack Swagger in WWE. What did you think about sort of his rebrand, his involvement, Swagger, aka Jake Strong, now in the Temple?
Well, as far as Jack Swagger in the WWE, I was always a fan. I really like his look and his size, his skill level. Mic skills obviously were always an issue, but to that I always say just bring back the managers, man.
Yeah.
And not everybody has to be a talker on the mic. I like the idea of him being paired with Famous B for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, as impressive as his size I always thought was in the WWE, getting to see him in the Temple, he looks even more impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's just so much taller than the average fighter in the Temple. So, I mean, he looked phenomenal as soon as he got into the ring compared to everybody else. The match is what it was, but I was more just excited to see him there. And as far as the rebranding with names and stuff like that goes, I'll just get used to this. It's not that big a deal. I like the name Jack Swagger, but what can you do?
Yeah, I was thinking about it because I was not a fan of the rebranding name. I was like, Jake Strong. I just seemed kind of uninspired. But I'll say a couple things about that. I would have liked, I think, them to go sort of the Johnny Mundo route, which is to like just, you know, take a Spanish
word. Take a
part
of the name?
Call him like, you know, Jack Fuerte or something like that. If you're going to, that's just not obviously what you have to go with, but something like that, if he's going to be in the Temple. But
I just don't know if he's got the same sort of panache and charisma to pull that off though. You know what I mean? Like John Morrison is Johnny Mundo.
Absolutely. No, I'm not saying
he kind of has that personality to him. The funny thing about Jack Swagger is he never really, never really had that swagger to him, though.
The one thing I will say, though, especially after rewatching it, the crowd was into the Strong chant. The Believers were chanting Strong, and I like the variation of the taunt as far as like the beating of the fist on the chest as opposed to the, sort of like the hand over your heart. So yeah. I'm into it. So I've sort of done an about face on it, but I'm happy he's in the temple. I think, you know, this is a good sort of new lease for him. And like you said, he looks so much more bigger and imposing. I think it's clear that they have big plans for him. And the match, I was not super stoked on the match. I thought it was okay. And the right team won. And it set up Strong turning on Famous B and his guys, and he looked like dominant. And he put Famous B in his ankle lock and then broke his ankle. And I immediately, you know, they played up sort of the ankle snap sound on the TV and everything like that. I immediately was like, all right, well, let's get Pentagon Dark versus Jake Strong. It'll be like a bone breaker match. I'm into that. A breaker,
that would be cool.
A breaker of bones match. So I think that could be coming down the pike at some point in this season. But so we got Jack Swagger in the temple, and he is, I guess, a babyface since he turned on Famous B. I would have to assume.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that he'll just be like one of those like vicious heels for a little bit. You know what I mean? That he's almost like a rabid dog.
Okay.
Kind of like Pentagon, which means that, I mean, as long as he continues to gain momentum and popularity, he'll end up being like a Pentagon. But I'd say right now they're probably still going to consider him a heel.
Interesting. Okay. I do think no matter what, they have big plans for him this season. We then get Antonio Cueto. He's reintroducing the Gift of the Gods. And so we're getting a Gift of the Gods medallion match between Drago and Dragon Azteca Jr. My initial reactions from this match was, dude, Dragon Azteca Jr. looks sick, like really awesome. Like, I like the new take on his outfit and everything like that. He just, it's a perfect like evolution from last season to this season. And I like seeing him going up against Drago. I would have liked it to get a little bit more time. I thought they did well for what they had going on. They were showing off their athleticism and everything. What did you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with your entire assessment. I really do like how Azteca Jr. does seem like he's matured, that he's kind of growing into the role that was always expected of him. And a match between him and Drago, of course, it's going to be athletically exciting. And so it was good to see the two of them go at it. My thing with Drago is, though, that character seems so lost to me right now.
Yeah.
Like, I just, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that we haven't gotten... It's because he was in Aztec Warfare as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we've had him for 2 weeks now. We haven't had him run afoul, really, of Phoenix or Aerostar trying to sort of talk some sense back into him.
Was he in Aztec Warfare?
He might. I know Daga was. Drago was. Drago might not have been.
You know what? I don't think Drago was, because I'm pretty sure Cobra Moon only came out with Daga.
Yeah, that's
and
correct.
And she'd have to come out with Drago. So yeah, this is the first we've seen of him. But he's been enslaved for a while now, and it always does seem weird to me if Phoenix and Aerostar, especially Aerostar, isn't there trying to reach him somehow.
Yeah, so I do want to get a follow-up on that at some point soon. He definitely, there's less of the struggle, so maybe he's fully succumbed. I mean, him trying to take off Azteca's mask, I mean, he pretty much got the whole thing off in this match. Like, that's a... It's a D-bag move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's really no other way to describe it.
It also very, very much. I get why it's such a like a such a sign of disrespect, because as just a fan, it bothers me. I don't like it. It upsets me. So
yeah, and that's not even a culture that we were like that familiar with or anything.
Yeah,
it's not right.
Yeah, we didn't grow up in it, but it's like no, you don't do that. That's the guy's whole character that you're trying to sort of destroy right there. You know, so.
Pass it up.
But Azteca did win, so he gets one of the medallions. So I think, he's a very good contender to end up with that Gift of the Gods championship this season. I think it might be time to pull the trigger on him, but we'll see where they go there. But however, Johnny Mundo arrived post-match, as did the returning Taya. She attacked Cobra Moon, and then Mundo laid out Drago. I loved Mundo before he got into the ring, though, and says, he was talking smack, saying, you know, Drago couldn't even beat Azteca. And just his terminology is like, what's going to happen when one of your snakes runs into the mayor of Slamtown? Yeah. And it's like, dude, that is so good. Just the way he calls him one of your snakes. And so, yeah, they Worldwide Underground Taya and Mundo stood tall and shared their first, I believe, on-screen kiss, I want to say. Probably their first.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't remember them actually kissing before either.
But yeah, so the cat's out of the bag there. By the way, congrats, Johnny Mundo and Taya, who have officially tied the knot. What did you think about the post-match thing and sort of the Reptile Tribe feuding with the Worldwide Underground, or what's left of it, because we've only seen Mundo and Taya.
Well, and we saw Ricky
And oh yeah, Ricky,
in the
the
previous
intern.
episode. Yeah, the intern. We saw the other Mundo. I liked it because I enjoyed the idea of those two groups going at it last week. So continuing to perpetuate that feud. Also, it kind of makes it seem like Worldwide Underground would have to somewhat be face here, since reptiles are definitely not going to be good guys.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy to see Mundo more on that side of it again. We want to root for Johnny Mundo, so why not? And the fact that Taya is participating, that means that Cobra Moon has to fight. So I like the idea of her having to be in the ring and get her hands dirty too. So that's going to be fun.
So what have the reptiles got? They got Cobra Moon, they got Daga, King Daga apparently, they got Drago,
The tall one.
and they got Vibra, but
Yeah.
Pindar was unceremoniously murdered at the end of last season. So
That's okay. And Pindar never really lived up to expectations anyway.
yeah, I liked his
As far as,
I
yeah, the
liked his
name.
mask though.
Mask was cool, but yeah, I wasn't really that impressed, especially after I had thought he had killed Daga
Had like eaten him.
originally. I don't really understand what happened. It's very confusing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
Yeah.
All
But we
right.
don't even know which members of the Worldwide Underground we have anymore either, so
Yeah,
I don't know.
that's
Both groups will be, I guess, roughly the same size.
like I don't think
We
we're gonna
get the Darewolf at least, right? PJ.
I was just gonna say I don't think we have Jack, but I hope we have the Darewolf. I
Yeah,
don't
it,
I
man, it's
honestly don't know.
what
Hope
sucks is Jack is the Dragon Slayer. Now they need him more than ever.
I know, and he's just gone.
Oh, they had a he had a great feud with Drago when he first came out.
Yeah,
Nunchuck fighting.
yeah, in the bathroom. I don't know. I don't know if Jack's
That's how
involved
he and
this season.
PJ Black even became friends.
Yeah,
It's a bummer.
it is a bummer.
Gonna miss Jack. I really enjoyed his work.
He was another one of those true heels.
He was delightful, and he was great at the live show too that we went to.
He was indeed.
Just he knew how to interact with the audience, and he was also, certain guys can do it and others can't. He was always very good at projecting, as far as being able to speak to the audience without a microphone.
Yeah.
Where in the middle of a match, he can actually interact with the audience, and it's not lost on TV viewers, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. From there, we get another kick-ass vignette, which is Antonio Cueto. Have well, let's go into Antonio Cueto before we get into the vignette, which I do think was awesome. One, I think they from episode 1 to 2, I'll have to go back and check, but I think they've sort of touched up the makeup they're doing on him a little bit, making him look even more haggard. To which I'm just like, is he just like a decomposing sort of like lich? Like what's going on here? You know?
That would actually be kind of cool if that were true, but then I feel like Katrina would know.
Yeah, I feel like that too. But I don't know. I was just thinking about sort of like that H.P. Lovecraft story, like Cold Air. Like he has to stay in this ice house because he's because he's just a sort of
He's
decomposing corpse.
a rotting body.
Yeah. But so that was the main thing. We 2 weeks in of Antonio Cueto, Jeff, your thoughts?
I'm still not a fan.
He was better this week.
He's better this week, but it's so nonsensical. I
I
don't
agree.
understand it.
Just have Dario.
Yeah, just have Dario, and then if you need to have this character, you cast somebody else. There's plenty of older dudes who look like that.
And the thing is, you don't need to have this character.
No, you don't. And in fact, for the longest time, we thought this character was dead anyway.
And you could just justify it that, you know, I don't know, man. Like, have Dario get his revenge on that Agent Winter guy at the start of this season and move his whatever his
Or he moved the temple because he's on the run from that
yeah
organization.
yeah exactly.
And Daria's looking over his shoulder the entire time this season.
I just don't think Antonio was the right call. I'm looking forward to getting Dario back, but he was better this week for sure. And I like to think that if we didn't know about Dario, we would love Antonio, but we do know about Dario.
You know what? That's a good point. I think that's true. But yeah, like you said, we know you can't unring that bell. We know Dario Cueto.
Yeah. Unring the bell. But but we can't do it. So we go to the vignette. Antonio is having a nice chill Modelo in his office, the official beer of Lucha Underground and this podcast. I mean, well, sort of unofficially of this podcast.
We drink it. They don't pay us or endorse us in any way.
No, yeah, we just enjoy it. And that's a good point that we really appreciate you endorsing and enjoying us. So please subscribe to us on iTunes, on Audio Boom, Lucha Lowdown. Tell your friends, share it with them, rate and review us on iTunes. Give us that great 5-star Dave Meltzer match. You know, write us a review. Tell your friends. Word of mouth's best way to get the word out. But we love interacting with all you believers. You can hit us up on Twitter at James Kincaid or at Lucha Lowdown. That's KINCAID for my Twitter. Jeff is anti-Twitter. We appreciate you listening. LuchaLowdown@gmail.com if you want to opine or talk to us in depth. We appreciate all your feedback. And yeah, thanks very much. Okay, finally, into the vignette we go here. Third time.
Oh, we got sidetracked.
Third time we're trying to get into this. Antonio having the Modelo. Official beer of Lucha Underground. Unofficial beer of this podcast. Katrina then teleports in, which I love a good Katrina episode. I really liked it, and I figured probably, Jeff, you assumed I love this vignette because we get a little bit of Katrina lore about her being stuck between the land of the living and the land of the dead. How sweet is that? I just think it's so cool. Like getting to fill her in a little bit and talking about how she wants to, you know, take down Phoenix and is, you know, when Antonio said, "You want me to kill Phoenix for you?" And she says, "Mill can handle that." They want another Grave Consequences match. So she is looking to move on from the Gauntlet of the Gods to get her life force back and wanting to steal Phoenix's life force, which, you know, makes sense. I get the logic there. And she has history with Phoenix before, and so I've always sort of been very drawn to him. So now she's got to up the ante a little bit. Antonio agrees to it, and I love the line where he's like, "You're probably used to men giving you what you want," or whatever kind of deal. What did you think about this vignette?
I thought the vignette was good. I'm not as positive as she is that Mil Muertes can handle Phoenix, though. The two of them have really had some great matches together, and Phoenix has been able to come out on top quite a few times, too. I mean, he buried the dead man at one point and really put him down. He was the first guy to, like, really stop him.
He did, but then Mil Muertes came back even stronger.
Yeah, and wrecked shop.
Yeah, and every time Mil Muertes comes back, his power level increases, so... You know, so Katrina's feeling herself and feeling confident about it. So more on that match. I mean, I was excited when they announced a Grave Consequences match between the two of them. Those are some, you know, the previous two are some of the best matches, you know, Lucha Underground's ever had. So that, you know, could be really something special. That takes us to the main event, Lucha Underground Championship match. Pentagon Dark taking on the Monster Matanza Cueto. What'd you think of the match?
I thought the match was all right. And I thought the outcome was I don't want to say too late, but I don't know. There was a time when Pentagon should have won this match.
Which Ultima Lucha Dos.
Yeah, Dos, yes. I mean, it was a couple of years ago that Pentagon should have had this.
I get what you're saying, and Pentagon losing to Matanza at Ultima Lucha Dos is still one of the most surprising, head-scratching calls.
It's just weird.
In recent memory. However, I really enjoyed this
it's
match.
Felt like Fred Savage and Princess Bride. You're reading it wrong.
He wins? who gets Matanza? Is it Mysterio?
Who gets Dario? Dario doesn't live.
Matanza lives. Jesus, abuelo, why'd you read me this? But I really enjoyed this main event. I liked on commentary how they were playing up the history, the fact that they've fought two times in singles, and both times Pentagon was not ready and was defeated. And so I liked them playing up on that. And while I still agree that he probably should have gone over Ultima Lucha Dos, I think the arc of Pentagon and how he has just gotten, no pun intended, but even darker and more sort of tapped into that side of himself as time has gone on, and now he actually can beat a Matanza Cueto, I'm okay with it. I get that, look, this is week two of season four. It's not an Ultima Lucha and stuff like that.
That's kind of my other problem with it, is it just seems like such an unceremonious victory, too. You know what I mean? This episode two. You know, nothing to it. It's just, here. And it's like, well, where do we go next also?
Yeah, I get that too. So it's, I mean, it's week two. It's not Ultima Lucha. I did think that just the match itself, though, was really well done. I thought the finish was tremendous in terms of protecting Matanza and giving Pentagon the much needed win to retain his championship here. I mean, the two Lucha Destroyer flipping pile drivers into the package pile driver. I mean, usually one is insane enough, but two, and then to take a guy's finish. I thought that was totally fine. And also keep in mind that you didn't have Antonio out there at ringside using that key, which is always sort of like a source of like power and motivation for Matanza to keep going. So he doesn't really have him fully harnessed yet. So I didn't think Matanza really lost anything in defeat here. And I thought it was a really cool match. Like in particular, I love the moment when just Pentagon doing the remove the glove chop to the bare chest of Matanza and then trying it again and just eating turnbuckle. That looked super painful. I thought they did a really good job. Matanza playing up his part with like the guttural like growls in the ring. I don't know. I thought they did well. I thought this was a good main event. And I mean, they're going, I feel like we're getting this in week two because they're just going full bore all out with it. So would I have loved to have seen it on a bigger stage with Pentagon getting his win back? Of course. But I'll take this, you know?
Well, I do feel that they are trying to throw a lot of heavy stuff at us this season. And, I mean, we start with an Aztec Warfare. We've already got a major Grave Consequences match booked. Yeah, Pentagon Dark versus Matanza again in episode two. I mean, yeah, I guess they're really trying to push the envelope as much as possible. And I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens next. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it as much as you, but then I don't think I'm as attached to the characters as you are. So,
hey, you're not a Pentagon Dark guy.
I'm not as much as you are. That's what, for sure. What, I mean, you, what, I appreciate Pentagon Dark. Don't get me wrong, but
why don't you forgive like, him for it's not you know? One of my guys. What wasn't his fault that Puma wanted to be Ricochet in WWE? You know, when are you gonna forgive him? You know, it's not his fault that Puma's not there.
I want to spit on your face.
I wish Puma was there, but I feel like you're holding it against him.
Maybe I am holding it against Pentagon. I don't mean to.
I think you are, bro. I think every time you look at him, you see Puma. It's like a husband and wife that have an unfortunate incident with their child.
Child.
Yeah. Oh, every time I look, sorry to go down that dark road, but
well, you are a fan of Pentagon, so it would be weird if you didn't.
That took a turn.
Boy, let's talk about that last vignette.
Post-match, Pentagon did try and break Matanza's arm, but he escaped because Antonio did finally come out holding the key and everything like that, and that's when sort of Matanza perked up and everything. So I thought they sold everything well. And then Antonio, though, just browbeating and smacking the crap out of Matanza, saying he was useless, and Matanza cowering to his father. And I really
he doesn't know how to harness his son's abilities. His other son did.
Well, he said Dario spoiled him.
Yeah, but Dario also got results, so.
Dario did get results. And also, again, I got to go back and check the tape. I really need to do that. I thought Matanza killed you. But maybe that's why he's all scarred up and stuff. Maybe that's from the savage beating that Matanza gave him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm going to assume. But we did get one final vignette. Also awesome. Really hit close to home. For me,
this is you in the temple. This is your avatar,
Jeremiah.
I mean, I know you love Pentagon, but this is your guy,
Jeremiah Crane, who again from his debut to now done a complete 180 on and how awesome this guy is. He meets with Antonio and he wants in on the Grave Consequences match because what does he want? The love of a woman. He wants Katrina. And who can blame him? That's actually
as old as time, man.
That's exactly what Antonio says. Is you willing to risk your career for a woman? And Crane says, have you seen her? And Antonio's like, good point. And so it's going to be three people in the Grave Consequences match. Phoenix, Mil Muertes versus Jeremiah Crane. They're calling it three-way to the grave. Sounds awesome. What'd you think of the vignette? And what do you think about that for a main event next week?
I thought the vignette was fine. I enjoyed the vignette because I like Jeremiah Crane, and I'm very much looking forward to this match. I, like you, love Jeremiah Crane. He seems to get better every time we see him. In the ring, he's a phenomenal performer. Would love to see him go against Pentagon Dark sometime in the future. But right now, I think this is going to be a really awesome match. I'm rooting for Phoenix, but it's going to be an awesome match.
Yeah, it is. I'm rooting for Mil Muertes, but this has possible sort of match of the year, match of the season potential written all over it coming in week three. And again, I just love Crane's motivation. You know, I get it, bro. And yeah, I've gotten it since he attacked Mil with that chair, screaming, "She's mine." I want to know what was up with that weird Ouija board that he found in Dario's office, too. We haven't revisited that. There's a lot of questions.
I wonder if they ever will.
I don't know. Something tells me they're not going to. But yeah. But I want it. And I don't know. I knew that you would be thinking of me when Jeremiah was doing his stuff. So I just...
Because not only does Jeremiah remind me of you, for obvious reasons, but then he's flat out talking about Katrina, and that was the whole motivation for the match. It's like, yeah, this is James. This is James if he was in the temple and was able to survive in the temple.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. If they make a Lucha Underground video game, I guess I'll have to play as Jeremiah. But
I could see you doing a customizable character that's like a custom you and Jeremiah Crane.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that is a hell of a main event, though. For next week, can't wait. Three-way to the grave, it's gonna be awesome. You're back in Phoenix, which is great. I mean, he's the new baby face of the temple.
Well, don't sleep on Azteca Jr.
I think it's Phoenix. I think Phoenix is the guy.
It depends what they want to do with certain people in the story. I think it should be Phoenix. Phoenix is most certainly the guy. He's already proven himself. But I don't know. It, you know what? The temple's weird like that though. There's almost room for several faces, because I mean, it's not even like Puma was always the hero, and then let's face it, last season he was kind of going down a weird dark road.
Led to his destruction,
unfortunately.
Not Pentagon,
almost the destruction of the Lucha Underground in total.
Indeed. That's gonna do it for us this week here at Lucha Lowdown, though. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody. Why don't you stop taking it out on Pentagon, okay? He didn't kill
you. Right.
I think I am. I mean, I get it. You know? I hate Undertaker for ending Shawn's career. And I know how absolutely absurd that is because Shawn wanted to retire, but I still hate him for it. I do.